Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here and join in the conversation with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be giving out those numbers, but let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be on the air once more. We pray that you bless and use the program tonight for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a help, a blessing, and encouragement to somebody this evening. Lord, if there's someone searching, we do pray that something we talk about, that the Holy Spirit might be able to use that to help that person come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's been kind of a nice day today. A little muggy here this evening, but it sure beats the heat there from a couple weeks ago. And sure could use the rain still here in Northeast Ohio. It seems like just enough comes down just to kind of tantalize a little bit. But crops are really suffering out there. Farmers are feeling the pinch. I was talking with my dad. He just returned from Missouri and said that on the way out there, that a lot of the corn and stuff was suffering, corn and soybeans, and that as a result, some of the farmers are actually cutting their losses with their corn crop this year. They're not waiting for it to try to ear out. What they're doing is they're actually cutting the corn before it has a chance to do anything, simply so they can use it as livestock feed. And that way, as a result, they at least get something out of it, because it looks like the corn crop is really going to suffer as a result, and the soybean crop as well. As a result, corn and soybeans, in particular corn, prices have been rising, and we are looking at a much lower than anticipated corn harvest this year. And in fact, the United States Department of Agriculture, they issued a statement to lowering their expectation of the corn crop in the United States this year, and it's the largest revision downward in probably about the last 25 years or so. And what that translates to us, of course, is higher prices at the grocery store. Corn appears in a lot of items, not just your corn flakes and cornbread. Corn syrup, if you look on a lot of products, it's a major component sweetener. And corn is used in a lot of things. And so not only that, there's the feed aspect of it, and so resulting in an increase in the price of meat. But do pray for farmers out there. Pray for rain across the upper Midwest in particular. Seems to be hardest hit with somewhat of a moderate drought this year, I think is what they're calling it in much of the Midwest. But, we were mentioning at church today, you know, the whole idea that God said at least four times in the Old Testament that he would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And we have as what an editorial in the Jerusalem Post mentioned is the most anti-Israel administration and president in the United States ever since the nation of Israel has been there. And you can say what you want about Israel, but it's a Jewish state that God wants to be there. It fulfills Scripture, and God has certainly blessed those that have blessed the Jewish people and the Jewish state of Israel, and God has definitely cursed those that have cursed the Jewish people and the Jewish state of Israel. And I think what we're seeing right now, some of the things, the extreme weather conditions, fires and things like that in the United States, the economic upset, I think all that comes out in that God blessing those that bless Israel and cursing those that curse Israel. And we can talk about that a little bit more. But if you've got a question or a comment and would like to call. You can call us with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, 888-677-9673. We'll get to the phones here in just a few minutes, but I wanted to share something else here before we do. Just got a couple things I want to catch up with before we get caught up with phone calls here. There's one thing to be concerned about is the whole situation in the Middle East, and there's really three points of conflict, three points of danger, really, to watch in the Middle East right now. They're in Egypt, and the situation in Egypt's not improving. And to certainly pray for the Christians that are in Egypt. The level of persecution of Christians in Egypt has increased. And the Muslim Brotherhood now controls, of course, the presidency and also the parliament, and the Constituent Assembly Committee tasked with drafting Egypt's new constitution is effectively controlled by the Muslim Brotherhood and similar interests, and they actually have called for Sharia or Islamic law to be the law of the land in Egypt, and that the Quran would be their law book, essentially. And they have provision in there for Christians and Jews to be governed by their own religion. But of course, if you read the Quran and study the Hadith, you find that as long as they do it in second-class status, the dhimmi status, and pay the jizra, the poll tax, and do it with sufficient humility, then they're allowed to practice their faith under certain restrictions. They can't proselytize. They can't fix their houses of worship unless they're given permission, and a variety of other things that are designed really basically to wear them down and hopefully then have them eventually become Muslims and leave Christianity and Judaism behind. The other place that we need to worry about certainly is the situation with Iran. And Israel is more and more looking like it may have to act and try to set back the Iranian nuclear program. Iran tested just recently some missiles that have the capability of reaching over 1,000 miles, and that certainly puts all of Israel in range. And the imams there in Iran have been stating it's their duty to destroy Israel, and they have been calling for the Iranian people to prepare for a war with Israel. And of course, they threatened to shut down the Straits of Hormuz, where about 35%, I believe, of the world's oil that's shipped via ocean is shipped through the Straits of Hormuz. And it's concerning enough that Saudi Arabia has been developing some ports where they can offload oil outside of the Straits of Hormuz. And also the United Arab Emirates just opened up today a pipeline that is going to allow them to take a significant portion of their oil production and move it to a new port that's outside of the Straits of Hormuz. And hopefully, if the Iranians were to shut down the Straits of Hormuz, that would protect it. Some of the Iranian imams have issued statements authorizing and justifying the military to attack oil tankers and civilian craft in addition to military in the Persian Gulf. And we have several aircraft carriers in the vicinity there. So pray about that situation there. Israel feels that it's going to have to do something by this summer. It can't wait for the American presidential election. So a strike there is going to have repercussions probably most immediately, the rise of prices at the oil pump. And then one more before we get to our callers here, that area to look at. The other area is the area of Syria. And of the three, I think that probably the situation between Israel and Iran is probably the most dangerous, but one of the most serious right now is the situation with Syria. Last week, Syria tested a number of missiles in a mock attack on Israeli and Turkish targets. And they have also been moving their stores of nerve gas, various things like sarin, nerve agent, mustard gas, and cyanide out of the places where it's stored. And they've been sending it forward to some of their units based out in the field. And I was looking at a series of articles from an Israeli site, the Debka file, in regards to this. And on Friday the 13th, they had a headline, Syria takes weapons of mass destruction out of storage, U.S. Situation incredibly dangerous. And they detailed some of the things coming out where they're going to. Then on Saturday, they issued another statement here, article here, that says, headlined, Israel advised to brace for Syrian missile attack, conventional or chemical. And the Western military sources, they were warning on Saturday, that's just yesterday, that not only Israel, but additional strategic targets in the Middle East, places deemed enemies by Bashar Assad, and of course it would be Israel, that would be Turkey, and then Saudi Arabia. And the reason for Saudi Arabia is that the Saudis have been kind of sponsoring and helping the rebel forces in Syria. The rebel forces, of course, control much of Syria right now outside of some of the larger cities and heavily fortified areas. And they're fearful that if Assad begins to launch surface-to-surface missile attacks, they'll start with conventional warheads, but then they will progress to using his huge stockpile of mustard gas, as well as dipping into the sarin and cyanide gas and using that. And I might add, some of that probably came from Iraq, because prior to us going into Iraq, the weapons of mass destruction that the liberal misinformed press tries to say was not in Iraq, it's because it was being moved out. We had satellite imagery and other intelligence suggesting that large amounts of chemical munitions were moved into Syria and also into the Lebanon and parts of Lebanon, which controlled by Syria. And Assad has access to this, and real fear is that they're going to be using it. They believe that it's already been transferred to locations such as Homs, Latakia, and Aleppo to be readied for operational use. And then, of course, today there was a statement on the Debka file that Assad receives last warning to stop moving his weapons of mass destruction, and also noted that several top generals have defected from Syria and they fled to Turkey. There was another one that attempted, I guess, and he was assassinated in Aleppo. And one of the things that the Western intelligence channels try to get through to Assad is a quote, last warning, that he was to leave the warheads and shells loaded with mustard gas, sarin, and cyanide in storage and not to disperse them to be deployed for use. And it's thought that some of these generals defected, even though some of them have been instrumental in organizing the massacres of Syrian citizens, that they're trying to get out before the use of chemical weapons, lest they be charged with war crimes in the use of these chemical weapons. So It's a dangerous world in which we live in tonight. Wish I could say something more encouraging about it, but do pray for the peace of Israel, peace of Jerusalem, and pray for believers that are in those locations. Pray for the American men and women that are in those locations, and pray for our country. Our country seriously needs to turn back to God and get its heart right and turn away from our collective sin as a nation and sin of abortion, sin of these homosexual special rights and things of that nature, and get our hearts right with God. And the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and that's where we need to head. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air and talk about your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have Grover on the line. And Grover, sorry to keep you waiting. Had a number of things we want to talk about first. But welcome, Grover.
Can you hear me?
We got you on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I'm having a little bad reception. But the first thing, are you doing anything Saturday?
This Saturday? I don't know off the top of my head. But
we're having on Cleveland Baptist and all of us around churches, we're having a thing starting at 12 o'clock on Public Square. You know, the homosexuals can have their things and so forth about being partnership. We're going to have a thing down on Public Square. Ernie Sanders and all of them's going to be down there. It's about marriage between a man and a woman.
Oh, good. What time is that going to be?
It's going to start at noon on Public Square.
Noon on Public Square, and that'll be, you said this Saturday, that'd be the 21st.
Right.
And so if somebody wants to show up and support that, that'd be a good, where would they meet at?
It'd be right down on Public Square.
Okay.
Cleveland, Ohio.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Any particular part of the square? I'm not really familiar with the whole area around the square. That's not a part I get too much. What's that?
The terminal tower.
Oh, okay. I know where that. Yeah, the front there, where the entrance.
Right there. So it's going to be right there.
Okay. Okay.
I don't want to keep you being held up because I know you. I want to thank you for praying for me for my ministry in Mississippi and Alabama.
Well, amen. I hope really things are going well.
It. And you know what? God was really good. I won a lot of souls. I preached two revivals now, and I witnessed a lot of people. Gave out tracts. And you know what? I'm going to... If there's any big churches out there, I know you're a lot of mega churches, but you know what? I thank God for the little churches. We seem like that I don't know how you feel, Brother Al, but I feel that a little church like yours, a little church like Pastor Ernie Sanders, a little church like Ken Sundermeyer's and myself, I'm not bragging, but it seems like that we are more humble towards lost souls.
Well, and talking about little churches, one of the things with little churches is everybody has to be involved doing something or things don't get done, you know, because bigger churches, they have so many people to choose from, you know, to do things. A lot of people kind of hide in some of the bigger churches sometimes, and that's a sad thing. Big churches have their purposes, but...
And I've got an idea of this one church that I'm not going to mention a name.
Uh-huh.
But I've heard so many bad things about it. They're a big church. They're a 501. And to me, anybody that's in a 501, if they wanted to get out of that, they could get out of it.
Well, and you know, a lot of times what we do is we lose track of what our reason for our church is, don't we?
Right.
We forget that our purpose, what Jesus say, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel.
Exactly. He said, go out into the byways.
Right.
And compel them to come.
Exactly. In. And we preach the gospel, and we train and we teach people, and we baptize them, and we disciple them so that they can do what? Go out and do the same thing. And if we're not careful, what we do is we get comfortable and we enjoy, you know, our nice facilities. And we don't want to go out anymore because we like it inside. And we've got to be careful about that. But
I think this song is be coming up here. If you get a chance, call in and see if they've got this song up here.
All right. Don't know what song we're talking about there. But at any rate, we're coming up on the break there, Grover. And got that July the 21st. And that's at noon at Public Square, and a rally celebrating marriage between a man and a woman. And I thank you for that information there, Grover. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, we'll get you on the air here tonight. You can call in toll-free. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to be on till midnight here tonight. And also want to mention that we do this same thing on Friday afternoon at 1:30 to 2 o'clock right here on this same station, AM 1220, The Word. And we're on live on Friday afternoons from 1:30 to 2 and taking questions about the Bible and current events just like we do here on Sunday night here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And then, of course, we do the same thing at our Friday night Bible study every Friday night from 7 to 9, and we had a good Bible study last Friday night. And one of the things I want to touch on before we come up on the break here, too, we got on the discussion of the scandal at Penn State. And when that broke a couple months ago, when that first broke, one of the things I remember saying about that was that's a danger of what happens when you make football so important. Football literally becomes your God. And it was rumored that what was going on with Sandusky and these young boys was not unknown, shall we say. And it was apparently more well-known. Louis Free, former FBI director, did a press conference last week where he released about 200 or more pages of information on detailing how, unfortunately, the coach there, Joe Polenti, I'm trying to think of his name, Paterno. I don't know why I got. I think it was somebody else there. Joe Paterno. He apparently knew what was going on, and I heard a thing recently where they played some of his comments before he died, where he said, "Oh, I was just shocked to hear about this." But apparently, there's indications that he was involved in the cover-up. And I heard one guy on another radio station say, you know, I was always a Joe Paterno fan. And he says, but now, not anymore. His legacy has turned to mud. And I thought, what a sad thing. These little boys were sacrificed on the altar of football. And it's the danger when we let things become so important as they did out there. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a little bit longer before the break than what I thought. And we do have another caller here. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. We have, it looks like, Jeremiah on the line. And Jeremiah, are you there?
Yes, you have a great program.
Hi, good evening. Welcome. Thank you.
I have kind of a comment about the last caller. He was talking about 501 Church.
Uh-huh.
What's that mean?
Well, in the IRS, the tax code, you can get an exemption to be tax-exempt. 501c3 is the section of the tax code, and you can apply for it, but also the IRS considers, and it's in the code too, the IRS considers that any church that has, if you have a constitution, bylaws, if you have church officers such as pastors and deacons, things of that nature, and you have regular meetings, the IRS code basically considers you a 501c3 organization whether or not you register for that. And so some churches have actually registered for that in the past. Some churches think you have to register for that, and some churches never registered for it, and some churches believe you should never register for it. There's quite a wide spectrum of views on that. One end of it is that it makes no difference whatsoever, and the other view of it is that the other extreme that says if you do, the government tells you what you can preach from your pulpit. So that's kind of what it is. But it revolves around the tax code and the idea of who controls the church. And it's a whole other area, I guess, get into, and things of that nature. But that's what people are concerned with that. Hopefully that helps
everybody. I was just wondering.
Yeah, it revolves around the tax code. I guess the IRS recognizes you as a corporation, and so the idea is that if you're recognized as a corporation, then the government's in charge of the church, and as opposed to Jesus being in charge of the church, and certainly a true biblical church, Jesus is the head of the church, not a man, not an organization, not a government, not a bureaucracy, but Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And even in churches, whether or not they're registered, there's a lot of churches that have, let me go off here just on a moment on this. There's a lot of churches that whether or not they're 501c3 registered corporations, they've got a board of deacons that's become the head of the church. That's unbiblical. They have a denominational office that's the head of the church. That's unbiblical. They have somebody in the church that perhaps owns the building that is in control of it, and that's unbiblical. Jesus Christ and Christ alone should be the head of the church. But that's your there's a lot more to it. Some of the other programs have not gone into that a lot more detail. But of course, appreciate your question there. We're coming up on our break. We'll be with you until midnight tonight, so stay tuned for another half hour of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing. Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, good evening. Welcome back to the second half of our program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with us here tonight. And of course, Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor, but it's also brought to you by Frank's Antiques in North Royalton. Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is located at 6668 Royalton Road, North Royalton, Ohio. And Frank's Antiques in North Royalton is open Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday from noon until 5:30 p.m. And you can call Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton at 440-237-4393. That's 440-237-4393. Better yet, go out and visit Frank at Frank's Antiques in North Royalton and let him know you heard about him right here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And, well, we're going to get back into our conversation here this evening. And let's see, we've got a couple things here I want to mention here real quick. And let's see, give us a call, as I said, 888-677-9673. And we're going to, well, we got a phone call calling in. Probably should take that before I get to my next thing I want to mention here, because I'll probably get going a little bit longer on this, talking about something here at the God particle that they've discovered, the Higgs boson. And we'll get that here in just a minute. But we have Ken, it looks like, calling. And Ken, welcome. Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hello there, Brother David.
Hey, Ken.
I just thought I'd put you up to date on some news here.
Yes, sir.
At the service this evening, there was our SMITE campaign that we have every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the young people back there giving testimonies. And, of course, our youth pastor, Pete Folger there, he was mentioning that they had a time of it trying to get through to the little place that they were having that campaign and witnessing and so forth.
And this is Cleveland Baptist Church. I was going to point that out.
Did you hear about that one?
Yeah, Cleveland Baptist Church. And just for those listening, the SMITE campaign is a campaign where they rally the youth group, Cleveland Baptist Church, and a number of other local churches. They get their young people together, and it's kind of like a Christian day camp in a sense, and they have activities and things, but it also revolves around getting young people to go out and reach out into the communities with the gospel message. And so go ahead back to what you were saying there, Ken.
Successful, except they tried to, the little town, small town, tried to throw a monkey wrench into the works.
Do you know what town it was?
I don't want to get into any of that. Now, you call them, so next week you
That's
can
fine.
Report the sad events that they tried to throw in here and to stop them from campaigning, even though it was on their ordinance rules that it was allowed. But this
and
town
what
went
did...
a little haywire-ish, you might say. Trying to, now this is a small place.
And what did they do?
Well, they tried to say that they couldn't do it, that they couldn't come in there and do that.
Did they want
I'm
them
pretty
to have?
Sure, that it pretty much got cleared up a little bit.
Yeah, did they want them to have a permit?
So they went and got an attorney. Not a, I don't be an OP, it was a full fledged attorney, but he had a law degree. And they said that's the only one that they would listen to. So they made a little call there, you know, with play little. Church there in Ashtabula is.
Right. Yeah, he's a full-fledged attorney. probably it was the Lighthouse Legal Ministry headed.
It. Yeah, probably
and,
was.
And because for those listening, Lighthouse Legal Ministry, a lot of people have heard of the Christian Law Association. Well, Terry Hamilton, who's right. the head lawyer at the Lighthouse Legal Ministry in Ashtabula, Ohio, was one of the people who helped start Christian Law Association. That actually started with some people out of Cleveland Baptist Church. And when David Gibbs moved the Christian Law Association down to Florida, Terry Hamilton stayed here, and he moved it. Well, he went out there in Ashtabula, and with the help of Lighthouse Baptist Church in Ashtabula, they started a ministry out of the local church called the Lighthouse Legal Ministry, and they've been very effective. God has used them, maybe not on quite as large a scale as the Christian Law Association. That's a bit bigger. They have more resources. But over the years, Terry Hamilton has been faithful, and his pastor, Jones, out there. And then another attorney, Rex Sparkland, has come on, and they both specialize in Christian liberties and freedoms and in constitutional law. In fact, Brother Hamilton helped us out in Richfield, Ohio, some years ago. Richfield passed a law, a regulation saying that you couldn't go door to door for any reason without getting a permit. I think you had to go to the police chief, a nominal fee for handling the paper and getting a picture taken and getting this permit. But part of the problem was that if anybody made a complaint, you could be fined and charged with a third-degree misdemeanor and all kinds of problems. Or if somebody in your organization did it, as the head of the organization, you could get in trouble. And there had been a case down in a town on the Ohio River. I'm trying to think what the name of it is. But the Jehovah Witnesses had taken a case to the Supreme Court, Staunton, Ohio, that's what it was, had taken a case to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that it's a violation of free speech for a municipality to have a regulation requiring any kind of a permit for somebody engaging in protected First Amendment type speech. And see, the danger with some of these amendments or some of these regulations that towns have put on is it's not just Christian speech that's shut down. The one that Richfield had at that time, which they later got rid of, by the way, if I had been running for dog catcher and a guy up the street had been running for dog catcher, and if he could get his friends to make a complaint against me before the election while I'm out campaigning for dog catcher, he could have my permit to go door-to-door revoked and shutting down my ability to campaign. And of course, I could petition and file for redress and everything, and maybe after the election was over and I lost, I might win my case, but it'd be too late. And so I remember having a sit-down meeting with the mayor at that time, and I told him that I had some concerns about it, and he assured me that they had expensive lawyers in an office in the Terminal Tower in downtown Cleveland, and therefore he thought they knew better. And I didn't tell him that Brother Hamilton actually specialized in constitutional law in Washington, D.C., and that he's argued before the state Supreme Court of several states, and I believe even has contributed to things at the United States Supreme Court in the past. But no slouch as a lawyer. He's not just somebody with a law degree. He's very, very talented, well-informed, and so is Rex Sparkland, the other attorney there. They cited that law, and of course the Attorney General of the State of Ohio at the time sent out a statement to the municipalities across the state saying, if you've got a law like this on the books, you need to get rid of it. And the mayor at that time said, well, we decided to get rid of the law because, well, you know, there were some people that protested, didn't like this perfectly good law. And I actually wrote a letter to the editor, which they actually reproduced in full in the Richfield Times, and said it wasn't just the complaint about a law, it was pointing out that it was illegal. and that the Supreme Court said that it was illegal. And so it was nice to see that was vindicated. And still, there are municipalities throughout Ohio and other states that try to institute these laws and prevent Christians from going out engaging in what the Supreme Court has said is protected free speech that goes all the way back to the very founding of our country. The ability, whether it's religious or political or other civic or social issues, to go door to door representing your views, to take literature and all of that, that is a highly valued and fundamental right of Americans.
That's what happened there, and they got the attorney, I didn't catch his name there tonight, but that he got the permission for. Well, there's no permission. They were breaking their own laws that was on the books, that the ordinances said that they could do it, and they still wouldn't go by it. They went to the assistant chief because the regular chief wasn't there, but they still wouldn't hear of it. And then finally, when this attorney got there and told them, they listened to that.
Yeah.
And now they're, I think they're just trying to harass anyone. And I think they should be given some real good publicity in the sword of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen that paper they put out.
Yeah.
They have quite a bit of that in there. Yeah. And the more we're getting, see the publicity, it will go against them and will be in our favor. And that would help, but we're too much laying back on this and not going forward on it and giving that little town a wonderful publicity there about it, and maybe even make some of our local newspapers around here.
Well, and you're absolutely right. We shouldn't just roll over on these things. You know, the homosexuals and the abortion rights people and every other anti-religious group and atheists and things like that, they don't hesitate to go out and push for their rights. And we as Christians, Ken, it's because of Baptists, and you can actually check this out. It's a historical fact. It's because of the Baptists in Virginia that we have the Bill of Rights. It was trying to think of the guy's name. Virginia, around Orange, Virginia, or something like that. There's actually a state park there, and I hadn't thinking about this, and so I can't think of the guy's name right off the top of my head. But a Baptist leader at that time, he met with I believe it was Madison, and he had opposed him for a position on the Continental Congress. When they were putting together the Constitution, and he opposed the Constitution, and the Baptists, who were very influential at that time in Virginia, they were in large numbers, they said they would not support Madison, and they would not support the Constitution unless there was a guarantee of freedom of religion. They were afraid that the United States would set up a state church like England had, the Anglican Church as, Church of England as a state church. And most of the European countries had the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church or something as the state church. And they didn't want that happening here because the Baptists were always persecuted wherever there was a state church. They never wanted a Baptist state church. And so they were concerned. And when Madison agreed, John Leland, that's the guy, Pastor John Leland. And you can look up John Leland and Madison and the Bill of Rights online, and you'll find information about it. Leland and Madison met, and they agreed they came to an agreement, and Madison said that if Leland supported him, he gave his word that he would introduce the Bill of Rights once the Constitution was passed. And Leland withdrew himself from the race, and the Baptists threw their support behind Madison. Madison went off to help write the Constitution. And when the Constitution was passed, Madison immediately, a very short time later, he introduced the Bill of Rights and supported it. And so the very fact that we have the freedom to meet, for instance, this Saturday on Public Square at noon and stand up for traditional marriage, that right was given to us by the Baptist of Virginia, basically, in the 1700s. And the very fact also that the homosexuals can parade through the streets of Cleveland wanting their demands met. Oh, that right was given to them by the Baptists as well. I mean, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, all of that's given by the Baptists in this country in the 1700s. And yet we as Baptists and Christians in general, we just roll over. We let our rights be taken away from us. Let me amend my statement. It wasn't given to us by the Baptists. They recognized that these were rights given to us by God. And it was the Baptists that championed them and got them ingrained into the Constitution. And for that, I'm grateful. For that, even the most hardened atheist and the most liberal leftist ought to be grateful to the Baptists for giving them the right, or for championing the right that they can have free speech.
Well,
and sometimes
sure
we don't like it.
Tomorrow to get the particulars on the program next week, I hope.
Yeah, hopefully, and maybe somebody from Cleveland Baptist that has some of the particulars would want to call in. Could call in this Friday, for instance, our Friday program.
That literature sent you about the two Swedish scientists? These are not scientists that are Christians. I think they're atheists, but they have proved when the egg and the sperm come together, that is the moment of conception, and that's alive.
I don't remember seeing that, but that's obviously true. We've talked about that on the program before. That's a medical, biological fact.
They put it before, but we don't hear about that. There's a woman and a man, they're going to Washington, or they're at Washington, and they're fighting for that, but for some reason, they just swept it under under the carpet for some reason. They're not saying anything about it, because they'd have to really change everything then when you're birthed, when you're really born,
That may be true, but Ken, I got another thing I need to get to yet before we finish up here tonight.
Karen, say hello to Ken for me.
All right, appreciate that information, and like he was saying, we've talked about that before. Psalm 139 says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and talks about our characteristics and things about us being written in the book before they were formed, and at the moment of conception, you are a unique human being. You may consist only of a fertilized embryo, fertilized egg at that time, but you are a unique human being. You're human. You're not some other alien species. You're not a mere piece of tissue. You're human. You have a distinct genetic complement that was formed half from your father, half from your mother, and you're alive, you're not dead, and Planned Parenthood and the abortion people don't like you to realize that at the moment of conception, that's a live human being. And so, as we've said before, abortion revolves around the ending of the life of a human being. That's just a human being that hasn't been born yet. And so what we have to do is come up with reasons why we think that might be acceptable. And I just can't find, the convenience of the mother being an acceptable reason for dispensing with the life of a living human being, no matter how small. Kind of like Dr. Seuss in the Horton Hears a Who, a person's a person no matter how small. And that's absolutely true when it comes to the unborn child. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We'll be on for a few minutes more yet until midnight tonight. You can give us a call with your questions about the Bible and current events by calling 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And wanted to mention something else that caught my attention here. The God particle, mentioned that at the beginning of this half hour. The God particle, the Higgs boson that they've been trying to prove whether or not it exists, and they pretty much are decided that they have established that this new subatomic particle that they believe to be fundamental to the creation of the universe, the Higgs boson, which has been nicknamed the God particle, they have and in Geneva there Hadron Collider, I think it is, basically the largest atom smasher that they've ever built. And they have found in this theory, the theory is that other elementary particles, subatomic particles, obtain their mass by interacting with the Higgs field, and that is because of the Higgs boson that gives that field, energy field. And most of your subatomic particles, quarks and photons and things like that, have no mass. And so how do you take particles with no mass? They're just basically packets of energy that have no mass. How do they form everything that is, and everything that is has mass? Mass being, you know, the weight of something. For most people, they think of it in terms of weight, but mass is the idea because weight is variable based on, you know, the gravity that you're in. Mass is a little bit different. It's something with a lot of density to it is going to have more mass and then something that doesn't have as much density. But at any rate, they believe that this Higgs boson is what creates the Higgs field that gives mass when these other subatomic particles interact with that. Some people on the evolutionary side of things were excited to hear this because they believe that dispenses with the need of God. But the problem with that is Colossians chapter 1, and helps if I go to Colossians instead of Ephesians here. Let's go here to Colossians chapter 1, and verse number, 17, the Bible talking about Jesus. Actually, let's go back to verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So we know that God created all things through Jesus Christ, of course, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And certainly everything that consists of these subatomic particles, they consist of that because God holds it all together. And let me give you the other passage for that over here in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. Over in Hebrews chapter 1, we read this because one of the questions is, how do atoms, for instance, not fly apart? What keeps these subatomic particles glued together? Of course, one of those particles is gluons and things like that. But here's the real reason. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, who being in Hebrews 1 and verse number 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of majesty on high. So he upholds all things by the word of his power, and that's how everything is held together. That's the unifying force. And if he uses a Higgs boson to do it, that's it. That's up to God. But the Higgs boson, the God particle, does not do away with God in any way, shape, or means. And not even on the quantum level where everything is supposed to be chance. Well, we got one more caller we can squeeze in here in the last couple of minutes. We've got Tom in Cuyahoga Falls. And Tom, are you there?
Yeah, this is Tom.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, Pastor L.
Glad to have you tonight.
Good, you know who I am. I'm from Richfield.
Yes, yeah, I know. Okay, good. Good to hear from you, Tom. And yeah, got about 2 minutes. Got about 2 minutes.
Anyway, I got in on the program late. Were you on the Baptist you were just talking about? Were you referring to the Danbury Baptist?
No, that was in Connecticut. That was where President Jefferson had
the church and state.
Yeah, he had written to them, assuring them that they would not be interfered with by the state. I think that's where the phrase separation of church and state appears. That phrase is actually nowhere in the Constitution. The Constitution guaranteed freedom of religion and that the Congress would establish no religion. And so he was reassuring them there in his letter to the Danbury Baptist, Danbury, Connecticut. And that's a good point.
The church.
Yeah, because they had concerns, and there was talk at some point that that there would be a state church in the United States, and different ones were put forward, and also the possibility of several state churches. You could decide which one your tax dollars supported, and so he was reassuring them. Appreciate that question, Tom, bringing that out. We're about out of time here tonight. And again, I want to invite you to join us on Friday afternoon at 1:30 for Live with Pastor Al, 1:30 to 2 o'clock Friday afternoons right here on AM 1220 The Word. And then again next week, 11 o'clock till midnight for another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And in both cases, your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. And of course, our philosophy is who says that you have to check your brains at the door in order to believe the Bible? Well, we're out of time tonight, and good night. God bless. Hope you have a great week, and stay safe out there. Pray for rain.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoll.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoll.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.